There's no shortage of fear, anxiety, and hate running rampant across the country right now. With the political climate boiling over into racial, moral, and religious debates, we all need to rest in the Word of God. Join me, Evangelist Caleb Wampler of Kingdom Encounters International, for a prayer retreat in the beautiful mountains of Moravian Falls, North Carolina, this September 22nd to 25th for a time of intense prayer, worship, and teaching. Go to kingdomencounters.us/retreat to sign up today.
Today on the Strang Report, I'm going to talk about one person who's responsible for the overturn of Roe v. Wade. And I'm not going to mention the name of a member of the Supreme Court. I'm going to give my opinion on why this happened. You want to stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang, the founder of Charisma. This podcast is to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and to discuss spiritual issues facing the church, our nation, and the world.
Welcome back, and those of you who follow the news and who follow what I do may be able to guess what I'm going to say, and that person is Donald J. Trump. We don't hear nearly as much from President Trump since he is no longer in office, but he is still a very powerful personality behind the scenes. And he is also the one who promised, before he was elected, to appoint conservative justices who would interpret the Constitution based on what it said rather than what they want it to say. And he did it. He kept his word. And because he kept his word, his three appointees, along with a couple of others, formed a majority to overturn Roe v. Wade. And as I said in my last podcast, abortion is not made illegal. What changed was, is you cannot say that it's a constitutional right. There's nothing at all in the Constitution about abortion, about pro-life, about babies, about any of that stuff. But all these couple centuries later, there are those on the left who are changing the way our country looks at things. The morals in our country are changing. During the Victorian era in particular, things were very, very conservative, and sex was something that was hidden. Now, of course, it happened. In fact, during the Victorian era, I had a pair of my great-grandparents who had to get married because great-uncle so-and-so was on the way. Great-uncle so-and-so did not even know it until his parents died. So we know things happen. But you know what? People are people. But it wasn't part of the culture to have sex with anyone at any time in any way with no responsibility. And I had a conversation just today with someone, and we talked about that abortion is really birth control of the last resort. There are very, very few people, like maybe none, who want to get pregnant so they can have an abortion, so they can kill a baby. Most people recognize it really is a baby. It is really life. And the only way they can rationalize it is that they don't know it. They think it's just a bundle of cells. It's kind of a pre-human, they would think. The sonogram has changed that for a lot of people. A lot of women can see with the sonogram what this little fetus, unborn person looked like. My little grandson, I remember when his mother was pregnant, they would send us some of the sonograms, and I don't remember exactly when the pregnancy it was. but we were able to see his little face. And when he was born, he kind of looked like that. Now, when my wife had the sonogram, when my son, my grandson's father, was born, they were much more grainy, and you could see it was a little person, but there was no detail. And I'm told that a lot of pregnant women who see the sonogram change their mind because they realize it's a human being. In fact, if you haven't seen the movie called Unplanned, it's about the story of a woman that worked in the abortion industry for a long time. She had no problem with it. She could rationalize it. She was asked to fill in. Some other person couldn't help with an abortion procedure, and she had to hold maybe the tube where they suck the little fetus into the tube while it was on a sonogram. They used a sonogram, I guess, to see what they were doing. And it was so horrific that she left the room when it was over and went to the bathroom to throw up. She got out of the abortion industry, and now she's spending her life trying to expose what Planned Parenthood does. But getting back to my topic, and that's Donald Trump. I'm a big admirer of Donald Trump. I've written 4 books about him. And I actually went through to see what I said about Donald Trump in those books. Books were all written after he was elected. But Roe v. Wade and the question of abortion came up. In fact, it's mostly in God and Donald Trump, the very first one, because during the third and final presidential debate, he reaffirmed his commitment to appointing strong conservative jurists to the Supreme Court. I'm reading from page 26. That statement struck home with a lot of Christian voters, and the promise that he would work to overturn Roe v. Wade influenced thousands who had been skeptical to give him a chance. Then later, we had a section on page 105 about his conservative agenda, everything from repealing Obamacare to reduce government spending, to protect gun ownership, to deport undocumented individuals and criminal aliens, etc. And here it is. It says, to appoint conservative jurists to the Supreme Court who will defend the Constitution, and also to defund Planned Parenthood and work to repeal Roe v. Wade. And this was written in 2017. And now, a couple of years later, public sentiment has seemed to shift some. I'm told that over half the population is really against abortion. And then there's a lot of other people who really think it's kind of terrible, but sometimes necessary, but it should be as rare as possible. But they're just not willing to say that it should be totally banned. The debate, which most of you probably know, will now go to the states. This is where it was before Roe v. Wade was passed in 1973. And they were getting the laws changed state by state by state. And it was a lot of work and a lot of trouble. And if you've seen the movie Roe v. Wade, which you really need to see, I'm not sure where it's available. I guess I actually saw it a week or two before it was released in the theater. I was at a big convention of leaders, and they were giving all these leaders a sneak preview, and it was very, very moving, very moving. And I vaguely knew what went on because I was alive then. I was at the University of Florida, but I can remember it. But they decided to just go for the big enchilada. Let's get it overturned by the Supreme Court. and in one fell swoop will affect all 50 states. Well, now it's going to kind of go back to where it was. It was already illegal in several states. They were wanting to make it legal all over the country. And as my previous podcast said, that there are a lot of states that already have, either they had a trigger where a law went into effect at such time as Roe v. Wade was overturned. You know, it'll be at least half the states. Now, there are some who are screaming. I'm repeating a little bit of what I said in yesterday's podcast. They're screaming bloody murder that a constitutional right has been taken away. Actually, it hasn't. It was never really a constitutional right to start with. And this was a scary thing about where our country's going. Again and again and again, they interpreted the Constitution, in some cases, making up rights out of thin air. The right to privacy is one of them. In the other cases, they took the words of this Constitution and interpreted them in a very, very strict way that the founders never intended. The Establishment Clause in the Constitution about a government not establishing a religion was taken as a reason to take the Ten Commandments and prayer out of schools. But we have no state religion. We don't, like they do in Europe and maybe some other parts of the world. But they use this to almost where they're hostile to religion. You know, like schools maybe not allowing people to wear, you hear about some of these things happening, not having a Christian club at the school, or maybe wearing a t-shirt that has a big Christian saying like Jesus saves, or, you know, something like that. Yet all kinds of vile sayings and products are allowed on t-shirts. It's a hostility. Now, the Supreme Court recently ruled for Coach Joe Kennedy, where he was fired for kneeling in prayer. So we can be thankful for that. But we have to remember that Donald Trump was the one person who stepped up and said, you know, this stuff is going way too far. Our country is going in a direction we didn't plan. We need to make America great again. And people rallied, and he shocked all the pundits and all the lefties in the media by winning in 2016. And I believe he won in 2020. I really do. And I had a chapter in my book, God, Trump, and the 2020 Election, about why he might lose. Now, the first chapter is why he should win, or why he must win. And really, it was basically that some really bad things were going to happen if he didn't. And we've seen them with the Biden administration. I was prophetic. But then it was why he might lose. And other than the Dominion voting machines, which I was personally not privy to, it was that there was going to be election fraud and some other things. You might want to check out the book. It's still selling. I'm surprised people are still listening to the podcast called God, Trump, and the 2020 Election. I've not posted any new podcasts since the inauguration of Joe Biden, but maybe I should post some there. And in fact, you can get all my books, including God and Donald Trump, which is the one I've been quoting from. They're available mainly on Amazon, but also on mycharismashop.com or on my own website, which is called stevestrangbooks.com. Forgive me for giving that little plug. But, you know, I believe I put a lot of time and money into these books, and I believe in them, and I'm always glad to introduce new readers to them. I think they're very good. I will mention that I interviewed Donald Trump personally. It was an individual interview. It was in August. It was actually August 11th, 2016. I interviewed him when he was speaking to a group of pastors and making some other stops in Orlando. And my very first question was, evangelicals and Catholics have been under attack from the Obama administration for their pro-life convictions and their desire to be left alone and not forced by the government to accept that which violates their biblical views on marriage, how can you assure them that you will respect religious liberty? I had my questions written out, and I have a recording of it. In fact, you on the Strang Report podcast, and all the podcasts are filed in order going backwards by date. And you can go to August 11th, 2016, and listen to my actual interview. I did not do it as a podcast, but I created a podcast around it if you're interested in listening to it. And then his answer was this: religious liberty is the foundation. Without religious liberty, you don't have liberty. I feel so strongly, and so many other people do, and plenty of politicians do, but they don't express it. Religious liberty is something that I cherish, and you will never be disappointed. And then I go on and ask him other questions as well. And while that was not specifically about Roe v. Wade, the thing that makes us oppose abortion is that we consider it murder, which is one of the Ten Commandments: thou shalt not murder. It's not a political thing. It's based on our belief in the sanctity of life. And there are even non-religious people who are against abortion, but the values that they espouse are ones that they absorbed from Christianity. Christianity values life, whereas paganism had human sacrifices. They offered babies to Moloch, who's a pagan god back in the days of the Israelites. And there's a lot that can be said about that. Maybe I'll comment on it in another setting, but I wanted to bring that in, that it is a religious liberty. But notice that Donald Trump said, you will never be disappointed. And we weren't. Donald Trump tried his best to keep his campaign promises. Sadly, Joe Biden is too on some of it. Not in the same way. I mean, Donald Trump, I'm told, as I researched the book, actually kept copies of campaign promises and worked to fulfill them. And it was just amazing. In fact, there was I wasn't actually there when it happened, but this is widely reported. It was a national prayer breakfast. And he stumbled a little bit over a scripture. I think he said 2 Corinthians something. And there are a bunch of religious people in the room that were, kind of giggling that he wasn't smart enough to know it's called 2 Corinthians. You know, the fact is that his mother came from Scotland, and she was a very strong Presbyterian. For everything we know, she was a godly woman. She raised her children in church. In the United Kingdom, they say 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. I heard it when I was over there, and my wife is listening to the scriptures read by a narrator with a very strong British accent, and she was playing it while we were getting ready for work. And I know, and he's going through the New Testament, and he said like 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, and it had to be because he's British. But anyway, these people were giggling that Donald Trump was so ignorant he didn't know the difference. But he said, you know what? He said, I may not be religious like all of you folks. I may not know how to say everything, but you've been campaigning to get this done and that done and making no progress on some. He was talking about some of the religious issues, including Roe v. Wade. And he said, I've come in and done a whole lot in a short amount of time. And he did. One of the things that I said the few times that I was on secular media, always about Donald Trump, and my book's about Donald Trump, and they were wanting an evangelical to opine. In a couple of instances, they absolutely wanted an evangelical to say, Donald Trump has gone too far, and We're turning our back on him. Well, they picked the wrong person when they picked me because they asked me with the charges about Stormy Daniels. This was a lady who claimed that she had sex with Donald Trump, and Donald Trump does have a checkered past. But, you know, it was all a long time ago. And it's interesting that there were some very self-righteous people, including evangelicals. Oh, Donald Trump is too uncouth. In fact, I deal with that in my book. I interviewed Mark Galley, who was then editor of Christianity Today, and he later came out against Trump because he was uncouth or something like that. But, I mean, Hillary Clinton's not. Boy, you ought to read Doug Weed's book called Game of Thorns. He talks about stuff that Hillary was saying behind the scenes. And Joe Biden, you know, there's some really questionable things about Joe Biden, especially Hunter Biden. And, you know, it's probably not real nice to say, but it's a public notice that he married his kid's babysitter. And there were some questionable things that good Bible-believing, church-going people wouldn't approve of. But yes, somehow Joe Biden gets a get-out-of-jail-free card. But when I was asked to defend Donald Trump, I said, if he did those things, of course we don't approve of it. But I said it was a long time ago, and I think he's changed. And I said every Christian who's been forgiven by God has done something that they would be ashamed of to have blasted all over the news media. And those of us who've been forgiven can know how to forgive Donald Trump. And of course, the secular media people didn't know how to respond to that because I was speaking the truth. Donald Trump is a man with faults. Of course, we all have faults. 100% of the population. His were magnified by a media who did not like him. I'm old enough to remember Richard Nixon, and they really tried to do that with him, and they actually hounded him right out of office for really something very, very petty. The main thing that got him was that he lied about it. If he just come out, if he'd done an address and said, you know what, these boys, they got too rambunctious, and politics is a contact sport, and, you know, I told him, you were wrong. I fired a couple people. It's not going to happen again. He would have survived the whole Watergate thing. That's my opinion, of course. And then, of course, they were also against George W. Bush, really all the Republicans, and against Reagan. Reagan, though, was kind of like Teflon. It seemed like everything just kind of brushed off of him. Not so much against George H.W. Bush, because as time happened, we found out he was really kind of a rhino. In fact, George Bush, Republican that he was, and I had the privilege of meeting him and interviewing him and supported him, and I believe that he's a good man, but he is basically as liberal as Democrats were, you know, a generation ago. It's just sad to see how things have evolved or devolved, but I digress. I want to get back to Donald Trump and the fact that had he not made this a priority, which was right out in the open in the debates, in his platform, in his choice of justices, he gave a list ahead of time of who he would appoint. I think it started with 20 names and then he expanded it and he kept with that list. People knew where he stood. So thank you, Donald Trump. He's not getting much credit. He's been pretty quiet in this debate, but we can thank him not only for Roe v. Wade being overturned. You know, it was bad law. I think that's the expression they use. It should have never happened. And now the debate goes back where our Constitution says it should, to the states, to resolve these issues as the people want. Sadly, there are some states where a majority of the people and of the politicians buy into this leftist agenda, which includes killing babies. There are a lot of other issues as well. We're a very divided country. A lot of it's political, but a lot of it, in my opinion, is a divide between right and wrong. Thank you for listening to my commentary today on Donald Trump. I want to give Donald Trump credit where credit's due. I'm just sharing from the heart. I hope you'll share this with friends. I'm on target to have 6 million downloads this year. We're exactly halfway through the year. It'll be interesting tomorrow to see exactly where we are at the half point, but that's what we are on target for. And, you know, that's more than I got all together in 6 years, the first 6 years. So I thank you for tuning in every day or every time I post a podcast. I'm changing a little bit the way I publicize them, trying to get the word out more. And as I said earlier, go to stevestrangbooks.com and you can get all of my books and their specials and all that kind of stuff. So until tomorrow, thank you for listening and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Stephen Strang. Stay up to date with the latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app and at cpnshows.com. Get the latest reports delivered directly to your inbox by subscribing at strangreport.com.